The passage read to our hearing is taken from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. And in this passage, I believe that we shall continue to see how Jesus can set us free from all our infirmities. I pray that each one of us will key in so that the deliverance of God will be real in our lives. So that by the grace of the Almighty God, any ailment at all that we might have brought even to the sanctuary this morning, we shall see Jesus healing all, even as the woman who went to the synagogue was healed. The bondage of sickness shall be broken, and hope shall be restored. I know that indeed Jesus is here. Jesus is here. The passage tells us about the torment that this woman actually went through. And we can see four areas of how Satan can take to torment us, even in the things that actually we may be going through that are not pleasant. The first one that we see is the physical affliction. The physical affliction. The Bible says that this woman was sick physically to the point that he was bent over from the waist, that he couldn't look up. She couldn't look up, rather. For 18 good years, she had been like this. And I cannot in any way demonstrate it to you. But if someone is bent like this, you will see that it's about 90 degrees down. But to be bent over to the point that your head is touching your knees, I don't know how this woman actually looked like. But the Bible says that she couldn't look up. She couldn't gaze at the sun. She couldn't see anybody that actually is taller than the bending that she had actually been subjected to. Surely, we know that every day will be a struggle for this woman who couldn't look up and had no power to cure herself. She actually must have depended on a walking stick. To bend over, you cannot walk and balance. You need something to hold on to. And we thank God because the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized the 18 years. And I see that in this, he said, for 18 long years. I think that's NIV. 18 long years she was like that. And may the Lord God Almighty make us to know that that which no man can do, God can. God can. Then again, seeing that she was suffering from physical affliction, she must have suffered financially too. When the sickness started, she must have gone to several doctors. She must have paid heavy money. This was not mentioned here, but I believe that just as the case of the woman with the issue of blood, who had gone to see the doctors and had spent all her fortune wanting to get cured, this woman too will not have actually relented in going to see the doctor. Doctors after doctors wanting to be cured of her infirmity. And I know that indeed in this she actually could have lost hope after she had spent all her money. And no healing was inside. And guess what? The third affliction, the third attack that this woman must have gone through is that of spiritual attack. Jesus Christ said to us that in verse 16 of this passage, that Satan has bound her for these many years, 18 years. One can argue that indeed the woman was not possessed, but she was oppressed by the devil. And in most cases, our illnesses are like that, that we cannot really explain. But Christians are not exempted from illness. Christians are not exempted from the oppression of the devil. You may not be possessed by the devil, but the oppression of the devil may actually come against you. The devil may try, diabolical people may try to do something to afflict us, but by the grace of the Almighty God, the Lord God Almighty will break their chains. He will continue to grant us victory over them. Then sometimes also we see that our oppression can actually come from ourselves. They can be self-inflicted oppressions. Sicknesses can come due to sin. Sicknesses can come through due to bitterness, temptations, hatred in our heart. It can cause us to be sick. I've shared this testimony before concerning the hate I had for somebody, and God had to call me down and say, "Who are you to hate anybody? Have you not read in my word? You shall not hate your brother." Thanks be to God, because the Lord God Almighty loved me so to have given me that warning. And I want to say to you this moment, if you have hatred for anybody, please free yourself from that hatred. It can make you sick. It can cost your life. If it is your spouse, forgive her. If it's any of your children, forgive them. If it's your neighbor or your co-worker, forgive her. Hatred is a very strong emotion that actually can destroy you. Unforgiveness can destroy you. Guilt, addiction, lust, envy, greed, fear, worry, and of course, bankruptcy can actually cause illness and many other things. But here, the word of God says, Jesus said, Satan has bound this woman. Spiritual attack. Then again, the fourth attack, or the fourth affliction that I believe this woman must have suffered, is that of social affliction, social rejection. No doubt about it that because of her condition, she couldn't function so well in the society. She might have been stigmatized by the society. And I know that in a world where looks will be everything, the way you look will be the way they will accept you, this woman must have actually been looked upon as someone that nobody should touch. People who would want to meet with her may want to run away to the other side, not wanting her disease to contaminate them. Oh, what actually a painful thing it is to be rejected by your fellow people. The severe pain that she must have felt by the rejection would be by far more than the physical illness that she was carrying. I know that indeed the woman with the issue of blood could hide her own affliction, but this woman couldn't hide it. It was so glaring, so easy to see. You see someone bent down and walking, and you know that she cannot in any way straighten up herself. Then we see that there came a day when a bat, B-U-T, a bat came into our life. When you are hearing a good story, and then there is a but, know that the good story has turned to what? Bad. And when you are hearing a bad story, and there is a but, guess what? There is hope. There is that message of saying that something, you know, changed the course around. There is a good thing that happened even in that bad story. Same thing with this man, with this woman. The birth of her life came when she went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. She went to the synagogue. She went there to worship, not minding her position, not minding her sufferings, her afflictions, her oppressions. She went to the synagogue. On that fateful day, Jesus was there. Jesus was there. You are in the church. Believe it. Jesus is here. Just believe it. He is here. He said, if you are two or three, you are gathered in my name, there we shall I be found in the midst of them. The woman did not allow her infirmity to make her homebound. Some of us will be sick of headache, and what will happen? Oh, God understands. I have headache. I'm not going to church today. Who should you run to? Who is the physician that actually can heal you? You are waiting for Monday to go to the hospital, or when you know that the doctor will be in the hospital on Sunday, to go to him. Why don't you come to Jesus when you need him most? This woman went to church, so to say, and there Jesus was there. And guess what? Jesus noticed her. You shall be noticed today. Amen. The Lord shall notice you. Amen. Concerning your infirmity, the Lord God Almighty shall notice you. Amen. And by the grace of the Almighty, you will see his mighty hands at work. Now, we see here that Jesus noticed her and beckoned on her. Now, let me say this. The first thing that actually I want us to see about the change in the life of this woman is that Jesus, who was there, cared so much about what he saw. Jesus cares. The woman was unlike some of us, as I said. And in this, some of us will go to church only to want to use God, only to be selfish about our purpose of coming. We go to church primarily for miracles. And let me state here that indeed, your coming to church should be primarily to worship God, to worship God in his holiness. The beauty of God should actually make you to have that sense of awe, to say that I am glad I still can come to the church in order to worship my God. We are gathered to worship. God who cares and who can do all things is here. But that is not the purpose of our coming. We have come to worship him because he deserves our worship. If you have come sincerely to worship, I believe sincerely that God will meet with you and he will express himself in a beautiful way in your life. This woman did not go to see Jesus. She did not hear that Jesus was coming, and therefore she went there. I believe it has been a sort of habit. She had cultivated that habit to go to church. Probably the only place she could mingle with people and be accepted by them. She went to church. And there, like I said, Jesus noticed her and beckoned on her to come to him. Jesus has eyes for hurting people. Your pain and despair are not hidden from him. Jesus reaches out to her in the crowd. Jesus reached out for someone who was thought to be of less importance in the society. And by the way, in the Jewish community, you know that women were not even counted as part of the children. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever noticed? Women were of lower class. But with Jesus Christ, she was very important. Very important. She was not an invalid to Jesus. She was a complete child of God. Because the Bible says that male and female created he them. So in this woman, a complete human being, one who needed care, and the Lord God Almighty cared for her. Yes, Jesus cares. Your own hurt may be physical. Your own hurt this morning may be financial. Your own hurt may be marital. It may be health issues. As you have come for worship, I pray that you focus on the God that you have come to worship. And you know indeed that this God will hear your prayers because he is a help of trouble. Satan will want you to quit serving and worshiping God, but say no and let the Spirit of God draw you closer to God because he cares. Then again, the Bible tells us in verses 12 and 13, but I say to you that but when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." Such a word will come to you this moment. In verse 13, he says, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. A shout of hallelujah will be resounded here in the name of Jesus Christ. Demons must tremble at the presence of Jesus. The presence of Jesus will make demons to tremble. They will want to hide. They will want to beg. They will want to be left alone because they recognize the presence of Jesus. I pray sincerely, if you are physically sick, healing is on your way. If your marriage is troubled, restoration is on your way. If your business is messed up, repairs is on your way. If you are weak, you will say, "I am strong in the name of Jesus." Whatever torment you are tormented by the devil, deliverance is on your way. There is nothing too hard for the Lord to do. And that I say with every ounce of belief. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. I want to quickly show you a few verses of the scriptures that will encourage you to know that, you know, the God that you serve is not a God that is weak. It's a God that is so strong and mighty. A God that actually can do all things. The first place I found this, that there is nothing too hard for the Lord to do, is in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 14. Genesis 18, 14. The Bible says that indeed Sarah was of age. Her stomach, her womb was dead at the age of 90, I believe. And the Lord said, tell her at this time of the time of the year, Sarah will be with the child. And what did she do? She laughed. But 18:14 says something. Is anything too hard for who? For the Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And he repeated the thing that she will be with child. And lo and behold, she was actually physically dead became pregnant. No doctor, no physician like we have at this time, who actually will be checking her blood pressure, her system, and so on and so forth, to see that everything actually was all right. The Lord made her to bring forth a child, the child of promise. Then Jeremiah 32, 7. Jeremiah 32, 17. Jeremiah 32, 27. And then I want us to read Luke 18, 27. Luke 18, 27. Here we see that, you know, they were talking about who actually can enter the kingdom of heaven after the rich young man had met with Jesus. And the disciples were saying that, it will be very difficult for anybody to enter. Then Jesus Christ said what he said: the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen. Amen. Let's read together again Romans 11:33. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. That which actually you've been told that is incurable, God can cure. And I want to say this, the summary of the wonderful passage, which is what we can call the summary of the whole gospel, is John 3:16. And it talks about the unspeakable love of God. God loves us so much. He loves us so much to the point that he will not ever forget us. He will always keep us in his focus. Let's read together 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 9, 15. Thanks be to God for his what? Indescribable gift. The indescribable gift, one of such is the healing of our infirmities. God will bless us in such a way that we cannot in any way explain. And lastly, I want us to read Isaiah 40, 28. Isaiah 40, 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor what? Nor is weary. His understanding is what? Unsearchable. Do you actually believe that the God you serve is all powerful? The God you serve is not like an idol that you continue to appease and, you know, put sacrifices on. The God you serve has power to bring the dead back to life. The God you serve knows about what you're going through, and he wants to do something about it. You may want to actually ask, why do we have bad things happening in our world? Why? Satan originated it by bringing sin into the world. Sin brought sickness, disease, death, and so on. But the grace of God will always bring healing, restoration, and resurrection. The Lord God Almighty does not tempt us with evil. Yes, it can cause evil to happen to us as a punishment for our sins. But Satan is the main cause of some of the bad things we go through. And I want to say this to you this morning. If you're sick, don't blame it on God. Don't blame it on God. If you blame it on God, then where is your hope? If you are bankrupt, don't blame it on God. If your family is in disarray, don't blame it on God. You need to know that Satan is actually the architect of many of these oppressions that we see in our world. Now, a statement was made by Jesus Christ, and I want you to actually hold on to it, because it is also made concerning you. And it's found in verse 16, I believe, of that passage. Yes, verse 16. So ought not this woman, who actually did it describing, being a daughter of who? Of Abraham. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? I looked into the scriptures, opening the concordance, wanting to see where this statement was used again by Jesus, and I couldn't find. Maybe if you can find one, kindly call me. The daughter of Abraham. We have always found the son of Abraham, or sons of Abraham, but to use daughter of Abraham is rare. And may I say this? You are men and women of God. Not only pastors. You are also men and women of God. See yourself as a woman of God, as a man of God. And if you're truly for God, let me tell you this. Don't let anyone confuse you otherwise. And as a child of God, as a child of God, healing is your food. No one will deny you it. The Lord God Almighty will surely come through. By the grace of God, you testify. As the prayer for the pastoral prayer has emphasized, we shall testify a lot about the goodness of God, the healing of God, the deliverance of God, even when this year is about to end, in Jesus' name.